Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thirsty Thursday. Mean Streets here live at FTN. Chris Meany and Mike Randall. Randall Rant here with you. It's been a minute since we've done some live shows. We've been talking a lot of fantasy baseball here on Mean Streets, and that's going to continue. But I wanted to chop it up here with Mike. He has his first version of the NFL mock draft live over at FTN Fantasy. There's some quarterbacks that are in the news, some specials over at DraftKings, like which team is Justin Fields going to play for next? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Mike, always a pleasure, man. We're chopping it up all the time, but I love just, you know, getting behind the camera or in front of the camera, behind the mic with you. The man, when it comes to college basketball, man, you are cooking over there and we are getting closer and closer. You got your big board up over at ftmbets.com. Is it fair to say it is completely wide open for March Madness this year? I am seeing ranked teams lose consistently, especially on the road to non-ranked teams. What's your thoughts as we creep closer to March?
Yeah, Purdue and UConn have separated themselves just because they have the highest floor. It's going to be very difficult, even though Purdue lost first round last year, to see either of those teams upset early. The question, of course, is can Purdue get over the hump? And people forget, they say Matt Painter can't win the big one at Purdue. Well, they played Virginia the year Virginia made their run and won the title. And they were about 2 seconds away, but Diakite hit a shot from the three-point line sideways with 2 seconds left. Otherwise, Purdue could have been a national title, and no one is talking about this. Now, with UConn, the issue, Chris, is can they go back-to-back? No one's gone back-to-back since Florida in the early 2000s. That's the Al Horford, Joakim Noah years, if I can take you back all the way back there, with Billy Donovan as head coach. So that's the question. I do like some other teams like Tennessee. I think it's going to be about the matchups. It's such a cop-out answer for a guy from the tri-state area to say it's about the matchups. It's like I'm not even giving you a real answer, but it's going to be true. We talked about FAU last year. I knew that game against Memphis was going to be critical. I made my daughter stay up and watch the game with me to 1 in the morning because I said if they get through this game, they're getting to the Final Four. It's going to be that type of tournament, Chris. It really is.
Yeah, Mike, you're crushing it over at FTN with the college basketball show, and a lot of the crew is as well as we inch closer to March, and we're running a promo. I'm not sure how long, but FTN Hoops, 35% off over at FTN Bets and FTNDaily.com. Links inside the description of this video to bring you to those two sites. And again, 35% off. You get all the tools, all the picks from everybody across all sports. It should be really good. My Jayhawks, they're going through some things, right? It doesn't seem like they can play defense.
Yeah, well, it doesn't seem like they play defense. They're also not that deep. However, are we going to start discounting Kansas? Is Kansas now going to be
discounted?
Are they going to be like a sleeper? I mean, we get to the point where we can't jump off the Kansas bandwagon too much because we still know it's Bill Self who's the best coach in college basketball.
All right, let's get after it. Before we get to your mock, again, this is early. You got your mock over at ftmfantasy.com, free for people to check out. And we also have Jeff Ratcliffe there as well. But Justin Fields has been in the news this week. There was some talk about him, you know, unfollowing the Chicago Bears and NFL on Instagram. And everybody, I mean, it's a social media world. Everybody dives into this stuff pretty significantly. I think it is something because, again, he's a lot younger. He's on Instagram. He's on TikTok. He's scrolling. And I get it, man. If I follow the Bears and I follow NFL, it's all anybody is talking about. What are the Chicago Bears going to do? Are they going to hang on to Fields? Are they going to trade Fields? He's trying to stay focused. He's trying to, like, stay out of football for a little bit so he doesn't follow the accounts. And everyone's talking, well, he follows Kyle Pitts. He follows Bijan Robinson and Drake London. So maybe he's going to the Atlanta Falcons. He is actually favored, according to DraftKings, Justin Fields' next team, the Atlanta Falcons here at minus 130, the Bears at 3-1, the Steelers at plus 350, the Pats at 8-1, the Broncos at 10-1, and the Raiders at 11-1. Some long shots here, Vikings at 50-1. I know some people over at NFL Network were talking about that. I can't see a trade inside the division, but who knows? We did the quarterback carousel, myself, you, our wonderful editor, Daniel Kelly, Tyler Lochner, and Jeff Ratcliffe in there as well. And we just predicted the starting quarterback for all 32 teams across the league. Of course, there's a good 15 or so that are already locked in, but we're going to see some quarterback movement here, and we're going to get into the mock draft in a sec where we have three quarterbacks going in the first three picks. Where do you think Justin Fields is going to play football next year? Where would you like to see him? That's going to be two different answers.
Yeah, it's two different answers. I believe, and I like to see him go to Pittsburgh. I think the move to Atlanta, which you have talked about, would also be really interesting. But Chris, we're in the point now, we have to separate what we hear, and we're going to hear rumors from everywhere. You have to say, that rumor seems solid, but I don't believe it. That rumor seems solid, and I do believe it. I think he wants to go to a team that's a contender. I don't think he's staying with Chicago. I think that's totally out of the question. I interviewed Jacob Infante from a Windy City Gridiron. He said, you're not going to have Shane Waldron. You're Shane Waldron, Chris. You're not coming to the Bears to work with Justin Fields. He's been here a couple of years. It's up and down. There's a lot of questions. Plus, if they keep him with the fifth-year option and then the franchise tag potentially, that's over $60 million. Why would you not want to get a new quarterback you can mold? And oh, by the way, Chris, it's job security, because you get a quarterback, you're going to get a couple of years here to see if you can work with him. Why would you pass on this opportunity? So I don't think there is any way Field stays with Chicago. I do like him to Pittsburgh, but I'm fine him going to Atlanta as well. I don't think he's going to the Raiders, as much as Luke Getsy is now saying, you know, I really appreciated Justin Fields. Baloney. The rumors that they didn't get along, I believe that. I don't think he's going to the Raiders. I think it's Atlanta or Pittsburgh. I side Pittsburgh, but I think Atlanta is also really in play.
Yeah, I think both of those teams are not close to win now, but they are missing a quarterback. They got pieces on defense. They got pieces on offense. And I think Fields landing in any of those situations would be good from a fantasy standpoint. You know, George Pickens, I would certainly like George Pickens a whole lot more. And I'd like some of these Atlanta wide receivers in particular. I mean, London and Pitts a hell of a lot more as well. And it's way too early. I mean, I believe in Fields, man. I saw the leap forward this past year with DJ Moore. You got to put him in a right situation with good coaching, and I think he can get that on both teams in Atlanta and Pittsburgh. And let's keep in mind too, like, I'm not going to say this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer, but again, it's too early to count him out. Like, Brett Favre wasn't drafted by the Packers. Steve Young wasn't drafted by the 49ers. These guys went to different scenario situations and their careers skyrocketed. Again, not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer and win Super Bowls, but I think a change of scenery could be a good thing for Justin Fields. And you believe that Chicago should take Caleb Williams, that is exactly what they should do. And it's something to be said about having not only the skill set and the talent, and a lot of people are comparing him to Andrew Luck as the best quarterback prospect since Luck, but also the rookie contract thing is huge, man. To have a quarterback under a rookie contract for a few years is a big plus. We're seeing that a lot in the NFL these days.
Yeah, the only way you're going to stay with Fields is if you're convinced that he is the guy. I don't see any reason why Chicago would be convinced of that. They can put a new quarterback in play with a new offensive coordinator. You have DJ Moore. You have Cole Kmet. And oh, by the way, nobody knows who the second wide receiver is because they have a void there. But they have the ninth pick. They can address that. Or they can go second round if they want later in the draft. Offensive tackle, defensive pass rush. You know the Bears could stop the run last year, Chris. So there are pieces here that they can make a run in a division that's now really competitive. Packers and Lions, Vikings, who knows what they're going to do as well. So I don't think you pass on a strong quarterback class with the number one overall pick if you are not 100% sold on your quarterback. And there's no way they are. As much as Fields is joking because he's unfollowing and following, I think he's going to be traded. I think he's got a chance to be really successful in Pittsburgh or Atlanta. But I think there is no way the Bears are keeping Justin Fields. They are going to take a quarterback with that first pick.
Yeah, I would say like near 100% as well. And that trade will probably come down after the combine. We'll see, right? The combine is huge. I know there's some teams that are looking for a quarterback as well that may just go the draft route, but I do believe he'll get moved on. Again, that special was from DraftKings. There's two more I want to get into before we get into the mock draft. There's several over at DraftKings. I left a couple of these off. Of course, Kirk Cousins is a free agent. Russell Wilson is not a free agent, but all signs point to him being let go here by Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos. Of course, he was benched because he wouldn't restructure his contract. And he is favored here to land with the Pittsburgh Steelers at minus 250. My thinking here with Russ is that if he is released, then he's going to have a choice of where he wants to go. I feel like, yeah, I get it. Pittsburgh, they got a really good team. But do you want to go to the AFC North with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson? Do you want to go to the Raiders? And like, that still kind of feels like a rebuilding team. They got some weapons, of course, in Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. And Antonio Pierce got these guys playing down the stretch of the season. But again, Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes inside the division. I feel like, again, Atlanta is a good spot for him. It gives him a really good chance to make the playoffs, maybe go on a run. The division, I think, is still wide open. You and I were back and forth and joking between the Saints and the Falcons, and the Bucks squeaked in. Shout out to Aaron Schatz for that. But this is going to be a completely wide open division again, where he'll have a choice of where he wants to go. I think the Falcons at plus 650 is very, very interesting. Where do you think he lands up?
Yeah, I put him at Atlanta, and for all the reasons you said, there's an element, Chris, of this. We get wrapped up sometimes in what we think teams should do instead of thinking about what they're going to do or what the person wants to do. You're Russell Wilson. Would you want to go to the AFC North? Is that where you'd want to go with your family? I think you'd want to go to Atlanta. I think that's an attractive area. That matters. I'm sorry if that's not a metrically based argument, but it matters to a veteran quarterback who's won, who's at the end of his career here. He wants to go to Atlanta. It's an easy division. He can make an impact. He's got some young talent. He's got a great running back in Bijan Robinson. He's got Drake London on the outside. Kyle Pitts, who never gets used properly. But it's a great area to live. Good weather. Guy can come in, solid team, can definitely make the playoffs, gets out of the AFC. I don't think he's going back to Denver. I don't think Sean Payton blasts his coach like that on the middle of the sideline if he wants him back. He's a veteran guy. I don't think it's a stopgap in Pittsburgh. I just don't. I like Atlanta. That's where I put him. I know it's plus 650. That one I like. Could it go to Pittsburgh? I guess. I don't think he's going to the Raiders. I just don't see the point in that because I don't think the Raiders are that close. I don't think the Raiders are close enough, and you're in a division there with the Chargers, who are going to have Harbaugh now, and the Chiefs. I mean, it just doesn't seem like it's the right move. So to me, I put him in Atlanta. We did our QB carousel. I like the fit. I like the landing spot. I think he can win there. I think it's a good location for him and his family.
I put him on Atlanta too. Again, a link to that article. It's free to check out. Some predictions just to have some fun with it. Daniel Kelly's been spot on over the past couple of years. He seems to nail it every single year.
Disturbing.
He did have. I know. It's like, how does he do this? He did have Russ with the Falcons. I forget who he had as the quarterback there. Actually, he had Justin Fields with the Falcons and he had Russ with the Raiders. But again, I just don't feel like the Raiders are a spot for him. They're really interesting to me because last year I thought they should have been aggressive to trade up and get a quarterback. And they got Aiden O'Connell. It doesn't seem like to be the answer. Jimmy G's suspended. He's not going to be with the Raiders, I don't believe. So we'll see what they do. Kirk Cousins, by the way, is minus 200 favorite to be with the Vikings. And of course the Falcons are near the top and the Pats at 8-1, followed by the Steelers at 10-1. One more here, a running back. There's a couple other ones there. There's a lot of free agent running backs potentially here with Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, Austin Eckler. There's Tony Pollard. There's a lot of running backs that are available and some good ones. And when we get to your mock, spoiler alert, there's not one running back in the first round of your mock draft. So we have Derrick Henry. I went with Derrick Henry here. Plus 125 to be with the Ravens. Kind of had like a little bit of a good buy there with the Titans organization after the game, the final game in Tennessee. Took the mic, thanked everybody. Vrabel's gone. I think that they're moving on from Derrick Henry here. But Baltimore plus 125. Gus Edwards, by the way, also a free agent. J.K. Dobbins and Keaton Mitchell was great last year, but he's coming off a significant injury. The Cowboys at plus 550 here. Mentioned Pollard. Who knows if they bring him back or not. The Eagles. There's an opening there with Swift gone potentially at plus 850. How about the Texans at plus 850 as well? I think that they are in the market for a running back. Devin Singletary is a free agent. He overtook Damian Pierce last year. Miami and the Chargers, as well as the Titans, to come back at 10-1, followed by the Vikings and the Packers. Man, how about just Derrick Henry in Baltimore? Like, can we just think about that for a second? Gus Edwards was scoring a touchdown almost every single game using our pace tool. In a neutral game script, nobody runs the ball more than Baltimore. Nobody's run the ball better than Baltimore over the past couple of years. I don't know if that's a landing spot or not, but where would you like to see him go? And again, I'll ask the same question. It's different. Where would you like to see him go? Fantasy, where do you think he ends up?
The one that makes sense is Dallas. The one that sort of I'm warming to is Houston. Dallas needs the big bruising back. They missed Ezekiel Elliott. Pollard is not that guy. We talked all offseason. I remember he came on the show, and I just did not think, and I think you agreed with me, that the Cowboys were going to go with Tony Pollard as their lead back. He has just not been the 250, 300 carries, 20 carries a game guy. That's just not him. I didn't think that was going to happen. In truth, it played out that way. The problem is they just couldn't run the ball at all. So you bring Derrick Henry in. I think it's Jerry Jones. It's a sexy pick. It's something he would like. And then you could put Pollard back to the role that he thrived in when Zeke was there. But the one that I think is really interesting is Houston. It stays in the division. You know they have a good team, ascending offense, great quarterback. Damian Pierce wasn't the answer. Singletary's a plug-in, a veteran. You know he can have success there. Maybe motivation staying in the division, going against Tennessee twice a year gets to him. I don't think he goes to the Eagles. The Ravens, I see. I get the match. It's just a tough one, Chris, because they have J.K. Dobbins. They had Gus Edwards for cheap. They had Keaton Mitchell, who was exploding. It just seems like they've proved they can win with mediocre investments at running back. The reason they lost to the Chiefs was not because they couldn't run the ball. It's because they didn't run the ball. So it's not like they gave the ball to Justice Hill and Gus Edwards 15 times and got 25 yards. They just chose to never run it. So I see the fit there. It just seems like Baltimore has been able to win with a collection of mediocre guys. And I don't know if they're going to invest in a veteran running back who, of course, could get injured and that stuff. So to me, Dallas, but I'm intrigued by Houston.
It's a good call by Baltimore and totally spot on. I was with you on Tony Pollard. I was shocked actually that they didn't bring Zeke, that they didn't hang on to Zeke or just bring in somebody, a short yardage back, somebody. I mean, Pollard was second in the NFL in red zone rushing attempts last season, just behind Christian McCaffrey. He scored six rushing touchdowns, and two came in week one, and then he disappeared.
Chris, the result being that Pollard did stay and did get the work, but wasn't performing, was never on the best bar radar. It was either he's overvalued because they're going to bring someone in, or they're not going to bring anyone in and he's going to smash. There was no out of he's going to get all the carries and just not perform. That didn't seem realistic.
And disappear is the wrong word, because you're right. He did get the touches. He still got the opportunities. They gave him goal line work, again, just behind CMC in red zone rushing attempts, but he did not excel in that role, and he didn't excel in that role 2 years ago when Zeke was on the squad. So I think bringing in somebody makes a lot of sense, and I know teams are hesitant to spend on running backs. Last year's class, free agent class, wasn't as strong as this year. Miles Sanders got the best contract for a running back, and he lost his job halfway through the season on a very bad Carolina football team. So I love the Houston call, because they're in a spot. It's a good spot to kind of transition into your mock, because Houston was aggressive last year, you know, with a couple picks in the first three, made some trades, got CJ Stroud. I mean, they obviously liked CJ, but I can't imagine that they thought that he would be as good as what he was in his rookie season. He excelled, and it gives them kind of flexibility. Again, a rookie contract, they got a lot of cap space. All of a sudden, they're players. See if they can get a corner. Maybe they're bringing in a wide receiver. They're definitely after a running back, whether it's through the draft, or maybe they can just, you know what, because we have CJ Stroud, we have some cap flexibility, we can actually spend a little bit here on a running back like Derrick Henry, and I think it's exactly what they need. So really interested to see where these running backs go. We'll keep an eye on it here moving forward at FTN over the next little bit. I know franchise tags can happen here this week, so we'll see what does happen over the next little bit. Some good wide receiver free agents too, like Mike Evans potentially and T. Higgins. Let's get to your mock draft. This is what the people are here for. Bam! Right away. We're just slapping it all up. I was like, thinking, should we just kind of go through pick by pick? I don't think there's any real need to do that. I feel like we'll just show the people here. Again, the article is over at ftnfantasy.com. You have been killing it over the years with your mock drafts. We already talked top of the board. Caleb Williams there to the Bears at pick one. Drake May to Washington at two, and Jaden Daniels to New England at three. Was it tough for you to decide between the two? Do you have a preference? Is this, again, one thing we should preference, and we've been doing it a couple times already, it's not about what you want. It's really about what you think the team is going to do when you're putting together some of these mock drafts. I prefer Daniels over May, but it's kind of splitting hairs. Why May over Daniels?
Yeah, the two things that right now, and of course, Chris, this could be changed at a moment's notice, but right now, if this draft was tomorrow, the two things I'm positive on are the Bears are taking Caleb Williams and the Patriots are taking Jaden Daniels. And let me explain why. I think Jaden Daniels is a perfect fit for New England. There was a lot of rumblings in the locker room from all the beat reporters. They want to see Malik Cunningham get a shot last year, and that never happened. He came in. The Patriots have not had a dynamic two-way type of quarterback in God knows ever, maybe. And they had Tom Brady. They want to start anew. Jerod Mayo is in now as head coach. You want to move this offense out of the dark ages. I could see the fit. It's a dual threat quarterback. There's been so much success there. Anthony Richardson, all those type of quarterbacks. That is what I think they are doing. I am positive. They are not passing on a quarterback. They're not going with Mac Jones. They're not going with Jacoby Brissett. The New England Patriots, one of the most storied franchises in the NFL here, who has gone through their roughest patch in the last 25 years, has a chance to lock in an elite quarterback. I think they're taking Jaden Daniels. Now, at number two, the reason I'm unsure on Drake May is I'm starting to believe, Chris, that there's a lot of fire with the smoke on J.J. McCarthy. I do. He has a tremendous arm. Harbaugh came out and said he wouldn't be surprised he went one overall. We all laughed at him. But there's a lot of stuff coming out here. I think the combine's going to mean a lot. I think you see what teams do. I took a flyer at plus 2,200 on DraftKings on J.J. McCarthy to be the number two overall pick. It's not that I don't like Drake May. He's got the prototypical size. He's got the great arm. But McCarthy in the offense with Michigan, is it possible that he is that smart and his arm is that good and he really impresses everyone in the interviews? Absolutely. The one thing I will not do, and I'm mad at myself for last year, there was no chance that the Texans were passing on a quarterback. Zero chance. I don't care about the reports. You're not going to let Trevor Lawrence be in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You're not going to let Tennessee end up with Will Levis. You're not going to – you knew Indianapolis was taking a quarterback to Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
They're going to go into it, with Davis Mills. They are not – so there is no way that he was getting passed on C.J. Stroud. I'm mad at myself and the odds flipped. In a similar way, I could see Jaden Daniels going too. I just think that's a long shot because I think with Dan Quinn and this Washington attack, the way they're built, I think they want a more traditional passer. They did have Robert Griffin there, and it worked for 1 year, but then it didn't work. I could see the Patriots taking Jaden Daniels. I feel good about that. Number two, yeah, Drake May is wonderful. He's a wonderful quarterback, but J.J. McCarthy is getting a lot of press. 2,200 is a lot for a guy who maybe didn't get to show what he did because John Harbaugh's student body left, student body right. Jim Harbaugh.
Right. Yeah. Run the ball. I had him where you had the mock in the quarterback carousel. I that's where I have him too, going to Denver. But I think, you know, to your point, maybe worth a little bit of a sprinkle at 22-1. Because if he does have a good showing at the combine, like I was all in last year on Stroud being the number one pick. And then after the combine, his odds went from like plus 400 to minus 400. It was like, oh man, this is happening. And then Bryce Young got more esteem. And then it looked like Young towards the draft. And it was. These things can change pretty quickly in terms of odds. So getting in on this now, I think is, even if it doesn't happen, I think is worth a little bit of a sprinkle. May is the favorite on DraftKings. I'm seeing minus 140. Daniels at plus 120. Of course, Caleb Williams, 9-1 to be the first pick in the draft. And then Jaden Daniels, plus 140 to be pick number three. And J.J. McCarthy at 10-1 over there to be pick number three. So also maybe worth a little sprinkle.
Yeah, and again, these things change. And you're going to have to decide what rumors you believe, what you don't believe. What I will tell you is this. As soon as J.J. McCarthy's draft position comes out, I am taking the under. I am taking that he is going much earlier. There's a couple other players and positions I have strong opinions on. McCarthy, I believe this. Everything is starting to add up to me. And again, these are reports. It's an imperfect science, but that's why we have betting value in the markets because no one knows anything. C.J. Stroud was like 2001 to be the two pick like a week before, and then everything changed. So we saw Stroud, then we saw Young. It went back and forth. So you have to stick to your beliefs here. I think it's starting three quarterbacks. There's no chance. I do not think Washington is running it back with Sam Howell. As much as I like Sam Howell, I don't think they're doing it. Marvin Harrison is slipping out of the top three. They're taking a quarterback. The question is, who's it going to be? But I think the Patriots are taking Jaden Daniels. It makes a lot of sense to me on a lot of different levels.
So I just loved – I love both of those guys, and I know we're not talking a lot about Caleb Williams, but a conversation for another day. Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels, man, he's just so dynamic. He kind of reminds me of Lamar. The guy, the fact that he can run for over 1,000 yards, he can do a little bit of both. He obviously Heisman winner, had a fantastic season. And May, I know some comparisons with Josh Allen. He's got the big body, prototypical size for a quarterback. He's got a deep arm, a nice cannon as well. But there's something about the ACC. Am I wrong thinking that? I don't know. There's something about the competition that kind of I'm usually a little hesitant.
Chris, if you sit here and say, who do I see falling? I don't think that Caleb Williams is falling. I don't. I would be shocked if he doesn't go number one. If he doesn't go one, he's certainly going two. Jaden Daniels is too talented with the dual threat ability, the Heisman, and the big arm. Randall Cunningham, people have compared him to that. I don't think he's dropping. May could drop. He could absolutely drop, and McCarthy could beat him because McCarthy doesn't have a weak arm either. He just hasn't been able to show it off. And to your point, the ACC, I get it. Listen, it's imperfect. No one knows anything here. That's why those odds change. I don't know. I'm starting to get the gut feeling in my mind that McCarthy is going to go very early. If the Denver takes him, which I think would be a great idea, great pairing with Sean Payton, I just think they're going to have to trade to get him. Yeah,
I agree. Yeah, I think it would be a good pair too, right? Denver. Mm-hmm. And when Payton came into Denver, he said this, like, it's going to take some time, right? Yeah. I mean, it was kind of shots at Nathaniel Hackett, but he said it's going to take time to turn this thing around here. There's Jerry Jeudy trade rumors, which I believe could very much happen in the offseason. And to get a guy like McCarthy, say what you want, game management, all that BS, he showed us that he's very accurate. And I mean, he's a winner. Those things matter.
Yep.
Winning totally matters. Yep. Absolutely matters. Okay, let's get a little bit deeper. I see mocks with New England taking a wide receiver, and I just think it's ludicrous. I think we just talked about that. You have an opportunity to take a quarterback, a franchise quarterback, to turn this thing around. You said it earlier. New England hasn't been in this situation in years, right? The Mac Jones thing was a failure. Marvin Harrison Jr. to be the first non-quarterback selected is minus 650, and he could be a member of the Arizona Cardinals with Kyler Murray. What a fit that would be with Trey McBride turning this thing around pretty quickly there. And if you remember, this time last year, Kyler Murray unfollowed everybody in Arizona, and he still threw touchdown passes in Arizona weeks later. So you have last year's draft, we saw a couple running backs, of course, Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson early in the draft. No backs here. We saw a handful of wide receivers, just a couple here. We have Marvin Harrison Jr. at pick 4 to Arizona. We have Malik Nabers to the Giants at pick 6. And where do you have Odunze? Pick 17 to Jacksonville, of course, with Calvin Ridley here as a free agent. Brock Bowers to the Bengals. Oh, man, I'd love that fit. Are you kidding me? To Cincy at 18. What do you want to get into here? I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. is a stud. He's going to be, you know, an early pick in Dynasty as well, especially for those that are not playing in super flex leagues. You see quarterbacks fly off the board. But Marvin Harrison Jr. there. Why Nabers over Odunze? And I think it's a good call. The Giants do need somebody at wide receiver.
Yeah, put up again if you can. Yeah. Here are my thoughts. A couple things. First, you know, be careful with the wide receivers with the Giants. I'm really starting to lean to change that because, you know, Chris, for every great Jamar Chase pick, there are Quentin Johnstons, there are Corey Davis. So, the Giants invested in Jalen Hyatt, and you saw them invested with a series of wide receivers.
Wanda Robinson.
Are they going to burn another early pick here on a wide receiver? I just think it's a little early. I like Odunze as well. I just think Nabers would fit what they wanted if they wanted to go there. But that's my concern. I have Odunze dropping because I really love the offensive lineman. And whatever the offensive line prop is, I am betting the over as soon as it comes out because there are too many talented players here. Is there a better fit for the Los Angeles Chargers than Joe Alt at tackle? You put him there, you put a good, strong running game, you protect Justin Fields, you have Slater on the other side. It just seems to make sense. I think the NFL, as much as it's a cocoon, Chris, is about protecting the quarterback and rushing the passer. If you're going to take a player, you know, Saquon Barkley, all these skill position players that have gone early, you better be sure. So my instinct is that the wide receivers are going to drop. I am not positive that the Giants are going to invest the 6th overall pick in a wide receiver, even though it is such a huge area of need. But a couple things here. I think the offensive lineman definitely bet the over. Chris, Brock Bowers is being mocked. He's not going in the top 10, Brock
Bowers. I agree.
I understand, but like we've seen it. This is a copycat league. We've seen Kyle Pitts and these other players. Brock Bowers fits to Cincinnati. That's a perfect spot for him to go. Joe Burrow, weapons, division, great offense, etc. You are not sending him to the Chargers. I know the Chargers need a tight end. As much as I love my guy Donald Parham, you know, and Gerald Everett, they're not taking with the 5th overall pick Brock Bowers. So those are some of the things I'm thinking. McCarthy, I think, goes earlier. Don't be surprised if people pass, you know, people think they're passing on quarterbacks. You have a chance to get a quarterback. I know we don't like Michael Penix, but he's got a big arm. He put up a lot of points that got his team to the national championship game. Yeah. But offensive linemen over, wide receivers in my mind are starting to slip. I'm probably going to change Nabers and bump him down a little bit. And enough with the tight ends early. We know they're not doing it. It's just not happening. But there are some interesting positions here, especially cornerback as well. As you can see, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 cornerbacks going between pick 22 and 29.
Yeah, and I think the corners, where you have them, I think they all make sense, right? You know, you see here Indy at pick 15. I think the Texans absolutely are in the market for a corner at pick 23. I think the Eagles, if you watch them play defense last year, you would think – you know, definitely going to get somebody in that secondary. You got DeJean here who can play a little bit of safety as well, corner. So I like that call there, Cooper, to Philadelphia. And then you have Tampa Bay, which may be the coolest name here in the draft, like Kool-Aid. That's his nickname. Quincy Kool-Aid McKinstry. Are you kidding me? I may have to get a jersey of Kool-Aid there. Back to the Bowers thing. I couldn't agree more, man. Like, I'm seeing a ton of mocks with him going to the Chargers at five. It just doesn't make sense. Like, again, I know they need a tight end, and he's the best tight end in the draft. And we saw Laporta pop off this year. And last year's, I thought, draft class with Musgrave and Kincaid, there was a lot of great rookie tight ends. And the tight end position is getting better and better in fantasy and in real life with some of these, like, they can do it all, right? It's not just blocking. They can run routes. And again, Laporta was just so awesome. But I just can't see it. Like, I feel like they are going to bolster the offensive line. They want to run the football. We know that Harbaugh wants to run the football. And that's, I think, what's going to happen. Blake Corum, who, of course, Harbaugh had in Michigan, plus 175 to be selected by the Chargers. Bowers is also favored for the Chargers at plus 200. The Bengals are 9-1. 9-1, I think. Pretty decent. I can't see the Titans, maybe the Saints, but I think they're going O-line. But the Bengals at 9-1. The Seahawks at 16-1. Where are they at in that draft? Could that happen? Where's Seattle here? At 16? Maybe you got them going O-line, which I think makes sense. They want to run the football there with a new regime and from Baltimore. It may make sense at 16.
Yeah, that was my rationale. Look, if you think that this league, if you're Jim Harbaugh and you come over to the Chargers, you love to run the ball. How do we know that? He was with San Francisco, made the Super Bowl, almost won the Super Bowl. Carlos Hyde and Frank Gore. Okay. His quarterbacks, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. So what does Harbaugh believe in? Offensive line and defense. What did he do at Michigan? Offensive line, run the ball. So now we're going to throw that all out the window with the fifth overall pick, and we're going to take Brock Bowers. It just doesn't make sense, guys. Brock Bowers, certainly a first-round talent, absolutely, but more towards the back end, which is why I think there's a fit there. Seattle has a lot of needs. There's still questions with Geno Smith at quarterback. Did we just see the one-year wonder? You know, did we see the one-year? That is the key as well. Over-under, yeah, Rob, on Brock's draft position, I agree. That's another one. If that comes out,
at 5.5 or something? Oh, right. My goodness.
If we get like 11.5, I am slamming the over. Just ask yourself, if you were the Houston Texans last year, you sitting around going, you know, let's pass on quarterback. I think we'll go. I mean, you're just not saying that. So if you're Jim Harbaugh, who wants to build this team into a champion, they have the Kansas City Chiefs sitting there, which means you have to control the ball, have to improve the defense, have to run the ball. We're going to start with a tight end. It just doesn't fit to me. So I love Joe Alt. The three picks, I'll throw a third one in. Besides the first and the third, I think they're taking Joe Alt for the Chargers there, pick five. I really do.
And Roseman in town too. Like, that's Roman in town. Excuse me, Greg. That's what they did. Yes. They ran the football, right? And a lot of quarterback design runs. I went back and looked. Herbert had 11 design runs. That's it. Like 13 games. And I know that different quarterback as opposed to Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson, a lot of design runs in that offense, but Herbert can run, man. Like, he's a big boy. And I think that they're going to certainly be a running team this year in LA.
Yeah. And listen, I'm just a little salty because I would have had 15 units on the NFL draft last year, Chris, if Zay Flowers just went ahead of Quentin Johnston. I'm still salty about that.
And he should have.
Okay. Because it was 5 units swing back and forth. So I ended up 5 units, could have been 15. But I think you learn from your mistakes in the past. They don't need an impact tight end there. And I question how much the impact can be. He's got a Super Bowl quarterback. They'll figure out a running back, bolster the offensive line, Slater, Alt, bookends. No one's coming near Herbert. And then he'll solidify the defense. It makes sense to me. But yeah, that's it. Offensive lineman over in the first round. I think the wide receiver is going to slide a little bit. No disrespect to them. They're great. It's just you know, we saw where CeeDee Lamb went. He went, 17? And I mean, he's one of the best. So, I mean, I don't think you have to reach there. And I just, Brock Bowers over enough. this.
Yeah, Jalen Reagor went ahead of Justin Jefferson. Never put that one. Yeah, this all, I love it. That's what I wanted to address with you, and I think we've hammered it down here, and we'll get out of here. But the offensive line, right? And there's a lot of them here in this mock, and I agree with it. The Chargers, the Titans, the Jets, right? These are teams that desperately need help at the offensive line. You got the Saints, right? We saw Carr go down. We saw Rodgers go down. The Titans offensive line's been a mess over the past couple of seasons. You see on the other side with the Rams and, you know, protecting quarterback. I mean, it's key, right? You got to have these offensive linemen here. One final one, Troy Franklin. Is it, did Pope win you over maybe with his great video on the FTN YouTube page? You talked a lot about Franklin, and I think the Chiefs, I mean, we were both in on Sky Moore, right? This didn't work out. Pouring out Sky Moore. MBS and Hardman had moments in the playoffs, but let's be honest. Rashee Rice was phenomenal. Kelsey had a down year. He's getting a little bit older. They led the league in drops. I think bringing in a wide receiver, and they're up against the cap. Like, I know everybody is saying Mike Evans. They just don't have the cash. Like, getting other guys like Snead and Jones paid, I think, is way more important. Maybe the tag Snead, work it out with Jones, and then maybe draft a wide receiver. And anybody linked to Mahomes here, like, is appealing.
Yeah, it was Pope's video, number one, Chris. And number two was Josh Gross, who we do the betting show on the podcast here at FTN. I mean, the guy must have hit Franklin overs at least three times, if not more. So I started watching it. I'm telling him, watching. I'm like, this kid is really good. That, to me, is a fit. You're the end of round one. You're the Super Bowl champions. You just were able to get and win the Super Bowl without anyone separating. And I think you can separate more than Sky Moore can. So it just, that makes sense. The Giants need a lot more than a wide receiver. If they're taking a wide receiver one, he better turn into Justin Jefferson or some type. If you're not sure, then wait. Maybe you can get somebody, Franklin or somebody else, Ladd McConkey, back at the end there. That's my suggestion. But yes, I think that's a perfect fit, unless they do get a free agent wide receiver, like you said, but cap space is tough. That's a fit because their line is good. The defense is good. Mahomes is legend. We know this. Kelsey's running it back enough. It just fits like a perfect fit. And Sky Moore, God, you cost me in best ball, Sky.
Oh. At least we didn't draft Kadarius Toney. We knew that was a fade. We knew fading him in the mid-30s at best ball season.
Chris, that guy made more of his 11-catch game against the Cowboys with the Giants than anyone I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what. And he just shows up against the Eagles, too, in the Super Bowl. And then earlier this year when they played each other, he had some nice moments against Philly as well. But, yeah, I mean, the defense was the youngest defense to ever win a Super Bowl last year. Yep. They won it again this past year. The experience just growing and getting a wide receiver, I think, makes a lot of sense for Andy Reid, Mahomes, and company. And on the way out, Rob, I do agree with this. I thought the Raiders were going to be aggressive last year. I thought that they were going to be the team to trade up to get maybe a Richardson or a C.J. Stroud, or maybe even a Will Levis. I don't think Aiden Connell is the answer. Man, they got some kind of win-now pieces on their squad, but they need a quarterback. So maybe they trade up. Maybe McCarthy's the answer. Maybe they decide once those big three go off the board, they trade up and get him. Maybe a Bo Nix. And to your point, Penix Jr., I think, as well. I think the Raiders are definitely going QB, Mike.
Yeah, I think Penix over Nix. I see a lot of concerns with Nix.
Agreed.
He's not a guy who was dynamic in college. You know, he doesn't fit the profile of round. At least Penix has the arm, has the panache, the sex appeal, the swag, where you could see it, and everything that fits the Raiders to me. I don't have Bo Nix in the first round. So again, another one to look at here is quarterbacks drafted in the first round. What are they going to set it at? 4.5, Chris? Or 5.5. I apologize.
Five and a half.
Yeah, then I would hit the under. I don't think we're getting 6. I think Nix is a round 2 quarterback. And I think Penix goes in the first round. I think he's got enough questions. If you're the Raiders, you need somebody. So you're going to trade up to get McCarthy? Maybe.
And dude can throw. He can throw, man. Deep ball. Yeah. He's got it. He can be coached up. Always a pleasure, Mike. Appreciate it. I know we went a little bit longer than I said we would, but this is early. Early feels. We are going to be with you throughout the way. Combine coming up. We're going to have mock version 2.0, 3.0. We're definitely going to talk some draft props as well. You mentioned earlier how much you crush it in the NFL draft. And again, FTN Hoops, 35% off all picks across all sports, projection tools, Discord is absolutely lit across all the sports. I love to see it. Good vibes over at FTN, and Mike is part of them as well. We're out of here. Have a good one, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.